How Long Gone is here. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Well, it's almost afternoon, Chris. Buenas tardes to you.
Thank you.
¿Qué pasó?
Thank you. I'm good. The sun is shining here in New York. The streets are alive with European tourists as well as locals kind of trying to get their consultant bowls, you know, before the 1 p.m. hour.
Consultant bowls. The only consultant bowl I have is packed full of strawberry sour diesel.
No, you have a consultant bowl all the time. It's from our friends over at Sweetgreen. It's the official lunch of kind of everyone, but we like to joke about it as a consultant bowl.
Tribeca runs on Sweetgreen.
exactly. But it gets so crazy at the one by me. It's wild.
Don't brag.
It's really, really wild. It feels like there's room in the marketplace for us to launch a concept, but I just don't even know what that would be, because we have Cava's kind of got the Mediterranean unlock.
Fuck Cava.
Dig has the more southern style unlock. Sweetgreen has the salad. Is there an omakase lunch concept we're missing out on, Jason? Is there kind of like a, what's the place, the box that you hate?
Sugarfish.
Yeah, if there's a sugarfish.
Sugarfish. I'll take a different take where I didn't sound so Asian when I said that. And also, speaking of southern, whatever you said, Dig, fuck Dig, when we got our good friends at Maypole over in the ATL holding it down with real southern consultants.
I mean, I would love to eat at Maypole, but there's not one here. So what do you want me to do? I mean, I can't.
What do I want you to do? I want you to franchise the locations, you fucking idiot. If you answered any of my emails, you would know that.
You're always emailing me about franchising, and you're right, I'm not responding.
I have so many franchise opportunities in your area, and I'm starting to feel like you don't even want to do any of them.
I was watching a commercial, actually, speaking of franchising, there's a commercial for the Dunkin' Donuts Corporation that shows like three generations of kind of southern trailer park dwellers owning a Dunkin' Donuts and how it's the hub of their town. Like it was grandmother, mother, daughter. It had been passed down, and I have to say it did warm my heart. Honestly, it warmed my heart. It warmed my heart. They were able to feed their family with some sugary donuts.
My grandfather's grandfather got diabetes, and his grandfather before him gave this whole community diabetes.
Exactly. That's exactly the vibe. But I've been thinking about franchising as well. I just wanted to, you know, you're not the only one. You just haven't brought me any
opportunities.
What's the
key money looking like right now, brother?
Not key money. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think we could, honestly, if we opened a How Long Gone franchise Jimmy John's in New York City, we could retire. We would never have to record this show again.
Okay, so just, it's a Jimmy John's location through and through, nothing else about it, except people just sort of know in the neighborhood that it is owned and operated by two white
guys. Well, they'll see me every Monday from 3 to 5. I'll be kind of a pinch hit
office
sandwich
hours
artist. Yeah, just to make sure people can come in and kind of, you know, I'll talk about the chip density with them and stuff when they're in line. But because it's there's so many southern transplants in the New York City metro area that Jimmy John's would feel, you know, like home. So they would flock to lunch. They would leave all the consultant bowls. They would leave Subway in the dust and just go straight to Jimmy John's.
It's all those six figures consultants eating Subway every day. Yeah, it is a hole in the market.
Honestly, you're underestimating a 26-year-old who makes more money than us. They don't have the palate. They don't have the palate yet.
It's a very, very excellent point.
A fucking 5
foot cookie. They're wearing bad clothes, eating bad food, and they look better than us and are doing better than
us. They got abs, and the fucking bank account is on swole.
They got abs, and then they got those New Balances that look like a meme Dior employee shoes, and they make more money than me.
They're doing just fine, but I'm telling you, the palate isn't developed yet. We could prey on that.
My question to you, and I would like to prey on these people. My question to you, even though Jimmy John's is a southern business, a southern sandwicherie, I don't necessarily know if the menu is giving dirty, you know what I mean? It's kind of
it's definitely
turkey
not
sam,
no.
turkey sub it's, meatball sub
it's definitely not I, it's more you know
they're not it, whipping up grandma's hoppin' John.
It's more college town than southern, but I equate those things because of my upbringing.
It's like I'm in Manhattan now, living in the big city, big job. I'm over at droga cinco, the Latinx department, and I want to eat a meal that I used to eat after my water polo practice at Old Miss. Here we go.
That's honestly exactly what I'm saying. That really is exactly what I'm saying. And I think that is a market. I think that is a market.
Mm, that's on period.
But I have a surprise for you today. And I know you've been a little down in the dumps because of your injury. You know, somehow you're still out partying and raving, but I know that deep down you need some encouragement, and I wanted to get kind of a message to you.
I mean, us ravers party because we're sat inside. I'm running from my problems with a glow stick in each hand.
That's your relay. So I wanted to get, I wanted to give you kind of a pep talk, but I thought it wasn't, you know, I'm not the guy to do that. You talk to me all the time.
You don't have the tools.
Yeah. You talk to me all the time. The BetterHelp obviously is, you know, we can only use them so much. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would kind of tap in someone that I know you respect, someone you look up to, someone whose palate you envy, and kind of get him, kind of get him to give you a little kick in the ass that you need to kind of keep your hashtag gym flow going while you're hurt.
Okay. Rene Redzepi, is that you on the line?
Yeah. Hold on. So if you're ready, I'd like to play it for you.
Yeah. You sent me a file, and I'm going to press play now, and we're going to listen to this.
Yeah. Let's go.
This is unlike you. All right. We'll do 3, 2, 1, go. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Jason, guess what, honey? It's Dakota.
Or should we say Liam Jones and Jackson.
We heard from your buddy Chris, and it sounds like you need a pep talk. Okay, first of all, we need to know why your nickname is Them Jeans, because have you had a BBL or something? Because it looks good in them
jeans.
Quite
the opposite.
I had a natural one. McDonald's.
Yeah, mine, I was born with a BBL. But no, for real, we hear that you need a pep talk because you broke a bone in your foot, and you can't walk around, and you're sedentary, laid up in the bed, crying. How did you break a bone in your foot? Because I ain't got no empathy for people that break bones. You know why? Because I'm a klutzy motherfucker, and I have never broken a bone in my life.
Same.
Knock on wood.
Okay. And I would not want that to happen because I would never hear the end of it.
I would be the worst patient ever. But we hear that you're super sexy and you're super tall.
I didn't say you were sexy.
Good Lord. And that Chris wants you to work. I'm trying not to laugh. Chris wants you to work on your workout regimen, especially your titties, that you really need it.
It's all about the titties.
It is. So does that mean that he likes to stare at your chest? He likes to play with your fun bag?
Why do they have to make it gay?
Because they're gay.
We are in Glendale.
Well, when I lived in LA for months, I never got to go to Glendale.
Why would you?
Kidding. Why would you? I rented a car and I wanted to drive around. And I never got to go to Glendale.
Oh, these
I'm going to Google your name, Jason Stewart, a.k.a. Them Jeans, right after this. But it's given like radio show.
Close. Right.
How would they know what kind of jeans you have?
Looking at them jeans.
Maybe. Are they apple bottom jeans boots with the fire?
They're probably like us American Eagle. But
damn.
Literally, because that's the only thing that'll fit. Anyways, we hope you're feeling better.
How does he know that they offer tall sizes?
It sounds like Chris. I know what would make Jason feel better. You need to go to Chili's, get him plenty of Porta drinks, to go margaritas, and get him the queso dip.
And he's going to chest, get the fajitas, chicken and shrimp, protein.
And then if he does have really nice pecs, and Chris, you just low-key like him, maybe you could give him a pec massage. Maybe they're into that.
Well, and we need to see it. You in them jeans, so send us a picture.
I know. I'm gonna Google you as soon as we hang up. Feel better,
honey.
We'll
let you know right away.
We will. Bye.
Okay. All right.
Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I'm unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
So that was one of Jason and I's favorite Instagram personalities, Dakota Wright and his husband, Jackson. Jason and I have been fans for a long time, and I saw that they had hit Cameo, and I thought this is the perfect opportunity to kind of introduce our listeners that weren't familiar to Dakota while also making your day. So I hope that's what happened, you know?
That was just fantastic. That was like a 3-minute long cameo. I feel like they really go above and beyond whatever Mark McGrath is doing or whatever.
Yeah, they do. No, it's true. They do go above and beyond, and that's why Cameo should be reserved for people like Dakota and not like Seth Rogen. You know what I mean? Or whatever, like A-list celebrities. Like, Dakota put his foot in that. He gave us our money's worth. He cheered you up. A real celebrity would have just read the script and kept it moving and not put that heart into it, the heart and soul that we need.
Yeah, you would just see him reading like an SNL
monologue.
Yeah, cue cards. Right off
Yeah. Well, now though, the question is, because he kind of, not unlike Carbon Health, he had a prescription for you, and he wasn't saying ibuprofen. He was saying Chili's is kind of what you need. And I'm wondering if maybe you should just hit a Chili's and see what's cracking.
It kind of.
When's the last time you've been in a Chili's?
It kind of inspired me. It has been a while since I've bellied up to the bar at Chili's. But when I was younger, in my like middle school, high school years, we went to Chili's a lot.
Oh yeah,
that was a nice restaurant thing for us. And
yeah,
because 100%. Mainly because they had the black bean burger, but. I was an awesome blossom stand with my little fat ass tooting it out.
I didn't know
that shit is 8,000 calories.
I didn't know they had to-go margaritas, though. That's appealing for a certain crowd. You know, I understand kind of how that would help business.
Yeah, that for a certain crowd, the people that end up on KTLA5 Twitter account after they mow down 3 in Monrovia over while you were sleeping. I mean, that shouldn't be legal because, like, go to Chili's to get blacked out drinking pitchers of margaritas, maybe cheat on your spouse or whatever, get in a fight with your kid's teacher, and then they're like, hey, you know what? What would be a great way to punctuate this meal? Let's take 3 margaritas home with you in the car.
I think the thing is, and what we didn't realize maybe when we were adolescents at Chili's, is that in a lot of smaller towns, that's the best place to go get drunk as an adult. You know, it's probably more affordable.
It's either Applebee's or Chili's.
Yeah, it's more affordable. It's clean. It's there's no riffraff. You know, it's not like you're going to get stuck up in the bathroom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great place.
It's a safe space to drink yourself to death. Yeah, and also it does signal a little more, I guess, racial sensitivity, or like, hey, I'm a brother to the members of the POC community, whereas Applebee's is sort of giving American realness. Like the only thing that we eat are things that are called Jack Daniels something. Jack Daniels pancakes.
Sure, every sauce does have a little touch of Jack Daniels. I didn't want to bring that up.
Applebee's just feels like American food, whereas Chili's is like, you know.
Yeah, we have fajitas.
Yeah, we got fajitas. our brothers to the south are welcome.
We love the flavors.
I used to love it. My brother used to get in trouble when we went to Chili's when he was, you know, the Stewart brothers have sticky fingers. We know that famously.
Bad guys.
He used to put his steak knife into his to-go box. And then when we were walking out to the car, he would lift the lid of the styrofoam to-go box to reveal his blade.
I kind of get that. It's because obviously the to-go silverware has gotten worse and worse as we've started to care more and more about the environment. And you know, sometimes it can't even withstand the burger. You know what I mean? You'll crack a knife or a fork.
Yeah.
You know, and so,
oh, and now I have microplastics in my bloodstream. Is that what you guys wanted?
Exactly. Does that seem fucking safe to you? I don't think so.
That reminds me of, first of all, thank you so much. That was amazing. And I'm so glad that I have the file for this to enjoy for generations to come. Hopefully my grandkids will be able to play this one day once Dakota is, you know, the host of the Tonight Show or something like that, and maybe this can be an NFT or something to feed their family during the info wars. Huge, man, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem,
this is amazing.
And I just
we're one step closer to getting Dakota's gay ass on How Long Gone, right?
Yeah, we need Dakota on How Long. The streets need that. And if this is not even a veiled bat signal, this is the full bat signal.
This is me thirsting for it like a street dog
thirsting,
lapping it up.
I mean, I'm willing to fly down to South Carolina and go to Chili's with these motherfuckers.
No, I bet
you know what
you
I mean
are.
That's not,
I bet you are.
That's not out of the question for me. I would feel comfortable in that environment until maybe after dinner. I would feel less comfortable. I wanted to talk about a scandal that is kind of rocking the internet. And I, you know, I'm not a royal watcher.
Okay.
I'm not a royal watcher, but I am an amateur Shutterbug.
Mm-hmm.
And a member of our amateur Shutterbug community is being ridiculed and made fun of online for an editing error to a photo.
They're coming for Richard Kern again. He's fine, guys. Come on.
Yeah. The
He waits till you leave to jack off. It's not a big deal.
Kate Middleton, the Terry Richardson of Wales, released a photograph on Sunday, which picture agencies later recalled over claims it had been altered. But I wanted to read Kate's statement, because this is something that I think a lot of our listeners can relate to. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday has caused. I hope everyone's celebrating, had a very happy Mother's Day. And so, you know, it's she's taking the blame. She's like stepping up and saying, I made an error on Photoshop, and these minor adjustments were obviously not what they should have been. And I just, as a fellow amateur Shutterbug, I want to say that I stand with Kate and that mistakes happen.
Okay. So you think that she is earnestly coming clean? You think that the royal family just let this amateur person do retouching photos of official royal family business and there's nothing fishy going on? This is not a we need heads on sticks kind of conspiracy. You know where my brain goes, of course. I'm not saying that, but you know, it... We have to present all the facts, right?
Let me put a little bug in your ear, a little conspiracy theory to kind of whet your whistle, as I know this is where you go.
It's usually the other way around, but I guess you are.
There's a rumor that, like, she was having an affair, you know, because Prince William is a known philanderer. He'd be fucking.
And what is that? Is that the guy that's on Epstein's shit?
No. He's like our age. Not Prince Andrew.
I can't keep up with all these princes.
No, they're all just like white guys that could lose 20. And they wear like tuxedos with tails half the year.
They all look like high school basketball coaches that are doing better than you think they would.
So the rumor is that Kate Middleton was having an affair with a guy to get back at William. That guy just ended up dead, and that she might have been pregnant from this. Affair,
girl.
So I think the royal family might be trying to get her out of here is what we're saying, and that's tough because she is the mother of, you know, two heirs. So it's I again, I'm not a royal watcher. It's really tough for me to follow. But when photography becomes involved, I felt the need to speak out.
Okay. I think you get, if you say I'm not a royal watcher one more time, that does make you a royal watcher. I want to know, I mean, that is a juicy, juicy piece of conspiracy tea. How does that necessarily translate into this photo? What does that have to do, or how does that correlate with this photo?
Oh, it doesn't. Image? It's just, it's it running doesn't. Parallel. Okay. It's running parallel. No, got I'm it. Sorry. Okay. Not to cause any confusion with my fellow royal watchers, but.
No, I was just hoping that there'd be a through line. Okay, so a little revenge, a little tit for tat, and now people are maybe ending up dead. Maybe they're, okay, that's good stuff. That's good. I feel like, obviously, I don't care about a Photoshopped image of a bunch of people who I've never seen before in my entire life. You know, some kids with messed up teeth, whatever. And then I understand that when you take photos of your kids and family, that it's really hard to get a photo where everyone mm-hmm. smiling and mm-hmm. looks good and no, you know, get one good shot. So you have to sort of superimpose them all into one master image. But I feel like that's the kind of thing that even a professional would hire a professional to do. You wouldn't really take a stab at that yourself.
Well, here's the thing about amateur shutterbugs, Jason. There's, you know, the only way to learn is to kind of get dirty and do it, you know, and maybe this wasn't, maybe some of her photographs of birds she took in Essex would have been better.
Well, I'm just saying
she's kind of play around with.
She's on the world's stage.
That's right.
And I feel like there's so many people in control of everything that she does that, and you know, an official image like this would not be authorized to be released.
I would agree with you, but something happened, and
something happened.
You know, who's to say? But I think if there's a dead body, you know, we should find out about it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not going to personally investigate, but I do have skin in the game.
Yeah, a little SVU, Chris. Yeah, I saw the one. There's like one of the kids had like a hand. Like the hand was like doing an AI thing. Like everyone always says, like you can tell it's AI mm-hmm. if you look at the hands. Because it doesn't know how to draw hands, just like me in high school. But like one of the kids looks like it's throwing up crip or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, so you spent hours and hours retouching this document. And you're like, yes, the one where it looks like the kid had his hand in a Vitamix. That is mm-hmm. that is the one that we should release to the public.
The hand do be looking chopped up in the image that yeah. we were talking about. And I implore you to look at the image, and I also implore you to forgive Kate and give her some grace as she kind of learns the art of photography and retouching and editing. Obviously, one of the more difficult parts of the craft. Thank you, Jason. That's big of you.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could retouch photos. How do they do that?
You're like, wait, hold on. I thought Facetune was something else. I ain't ever heard of this.
Oh, shit. Damn.
Yo, that's crazy.
Bitch just should have used Facetune. I could have given you my login.
I got the
my friend's login.
I got a login I found online. I got some cracked logins if you want some.
I got a cracked version of Facetune 2.0. It's beta, but you know, yeah, it's still buggy, but it'll get the job done.
You can do the baseline stuff that you need. You can't do the advanced shit, but you can do what you need.
I actually when you were talking about margaritas to go, it reminded me of a video I saw of Robbie Hoffman. She was on the video with the subway
with
video.
Kareem yeah with Kareem,
friend of the show, Kareem.
Subway takes,
yes, Subway takes. And Robbie was saying that her hot take was if you're at a restaurant where you have to order yourself, like at a kiosk fast casual kind of thing
mm-hmm.
or a coffee shop, you're not getting a tip.
I mean, look,
what do you think?
As a known tipper, and I love the tip game, I would agree with her.
I love the tip game. The tipping is very good.
If it's a place, like I go to Cafe Integral all the time, I'm going to tip there because those guys are cool and they play music I like, even though they're just making me a coffee. You know what I mean? I think it has to be discretionary based on the experience and based on the regularity of the visits.
Okay.
But as a baseline, she makes a good point.
I've had this argument with my brother a lot because he works, or he comes from a background of working in food, and I would err on her side because it's like, hey, I'm doing all the work, and she was her arguments were very smart and as well, but my brother was saying, like, you know, like the to-go order, for example, everyone says, like, why would I ever tip you 20% for you just rang it up, and then in 20 minutes, you're going to call my name, and there's going to be a plastic bag, and I take it in my car and go home. That's not tip worthy. But, you know, he was saying, like, you know, it slows the kitchen down, and they have to do more work to put it in a to-go box than to just serve it on a plate, blah, blah, blah. And Robbie was saying, if we keep letting them do this, then, you know, 2-3 years from now, we're going to have to, you know, minimum 45% tip, and we're going to have to, you know, wash our own dishes and put them back at the end. You know, like, where does it stop?
It's the Airbnbification of dining. It's like you got to take out the trash.
You give them an inch, they take a mile, that kind of thing. But I really feel I've always used the case by case basis for tipping as well. And you know, it's simply if it's an establishment that you have a long running relationship with, you like the people, they take care of you, definitely tip them, just simply out of awkwardness. But if it's, you know, you're passing through Albuquerque on your way to South by Southwest, and you go pick up a turkey pesto wrap at some random place and they're being a dick to you, then 1000% fuck you, you ain't gonna tip. And if it's a place where you would never think you would leave a tip, but you got a really amazing service above and beyond,
bless them
with a tip. It's a tip has always been there, in my opinion. It's based on performance. It's simply performance based. You don't get a raise by doing a bad job. You get a raise by doing a good job.
Well, that's what you would hope. But I think that I think it was COVID, and I think it was like everybody thinking they have to support restaurants because it's our job to make sure businesses survive, even if they're not good, which is a wild thing that happened, where it was like our responsibility to keep restaurants in business.
Right.
But I also think that the argument that it always comes down to is like some comrade pay the workers more kind of you know what I mean?
Just pay the workers a living wage, and don't make the customer come out of pocket for just because the business owner realized that their margins weren't good enough to pay their employees long enough. So, you know, they're dependent on people tipping, and if you don't tip, you don't make shit.
Yes.
And that part is a huge bummer, because a lot of people out there, especially the elderly, do not tip for shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're gonna die anyway, so I mean, it's not really, you know, that generation will go away, and then the rest of us who've been raised,
so you get the last laugh.
Well, the rest of us who've been raised on fourth wave coffee shops where the cold brew is $9 and you might as well just round up, fuck it, you know, is we inherit the earth pretty soon, you know. So it's going to be the legacy of having a screen flipped around on you with three options to tip, no matter what you're buying, is only going to get more pervasive. It's only going to appear more. This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com. Promo code how long? That's Nutrafol.com. Promo code how long? We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong. That's the beauty of Robbie. Even if, whether or not you disagree,
mm-hmm.
you love it and you end up sort mm-hmm. of agreeing just by default. Like even if you adamantly disagree with Robbie's stance on it, it's just a pleasure to watch this person have this opinion about something.
I forgot that Robbie and I went and had Chinese food in San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
On before her show, and it was we ordered a lot. You know what I mean? And she did tip well. So I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
That was a regular restaurant. That was like a normal restaurant though with like table service. So that's not part of this mm-hmm. argument, I guess.
Yeah, and I think Robbie mentioned that as well. Like, you know, if it's a proper tipping situation, more than happy to leave a fat tip.
Mm-hmm. Cause she's balling. Which now. Is a good way That's to be. The other thing. You know what I mean? Things are going well.
Yeah, she's balling.
It ain't nothing to peel off a 20 and kind of leave it.
Her financial advisor said, you can bump it up from 20 to maybe peel. 27, 27%. 22.
You Slow can down. Go from 20 to 22, depending on the server.
Bump up to 22. Tell Uncle Sam we're doing 27, though. You know what I mean?
Of course. I had a big day of eating yesterday where I went to Balthazar for lunch and Pastis for dinner.
Jesus.
Which felt okay. insane.
You had the you did a Keith Bang Bang.
Yeah, because a friend, you know, like a... It was actually two different friends that were in town from Atlanta, Courtney and Isaac, and I just... It worked out that way, but I felt like that's all I did all day. You know what I mean? Even though I did a yeah. lot of stuff in between, I felt like that's all I did all day was sit in Keith McNally restaurants.
You just sat in mahogany, burgundy leather benches all
yeah.
day long.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Literally, my back hurts from these benches. No, it's not bad.
But that could be any restaurant like that because like Balthazar is a real. You go there and you make a meal out of making the meal. You're not rushing there. You're kind of like we're in. We finally made it. We got the res, and this is going to be a 3-hour, 4-hour lunch.
I disagree. I'm there for an hour. Maybe a Friday, you can stay that
well,
long.
Well, I mean, if you're doing it correctly, I should say.
Well, yeah, if you're drinking is what you mean, which I do agree with. If you're drinking during the day, and especially with, you know, Keith's policy of giving a glass of champagne to anyone dining alone, or maybe just any woman dining alone. I can't remember if it's...
No, technically it's any woman dining alone 6.5 or up.
Oh, okay.
Is what
okay,
Keith says okay. in the
you would never say something. You would never say something
in the branding guidelines.
You would never say something like that. But you,
no, of course
but you've
not.
Seen
no, kind of
kinda the Bible, the restaurant Bible.
Keith said, even if I'm in a good mood, a 4, we'll do it if a 4. but I think I've seen Keith post that before on Instagram of like, you know, it seems like he really loves and almost encourages people to just come in with a book. You know, you order your lunch of a soft boiled egg and a glass of Chablis. And then you sit there for 4 more hours reading your book, and that just like it sets the vibe nicely. Mm-hmm. You become a piece of the furniture in the restaurant that everyone likes to see.
I
And that's cool.
Become a piece of furniture in the restaurant. that is cool, Jason. Great way to put it. Yeah, but I haven't seen Keith is off Instagram, I think, for a while. He made one of his mm-hmm. classic announcements, so we're missing it.
Yeah, I think I left a comment involving some kind of jail joke. I keep making jail jokes lately for Keith on the stories. I mean, he's, or on his Instagram.
And I think he most likely will end up there at some point. you know, not for
what's,
anything.
Let's do a little DraftKings. Let's get a little Drake steak odds. What's the over-under on when and what's his crime? Wage theft? Or are we getting something a little stinkier?
No, I was thinking it's going to be something light and white collar. He may be able to kind of, you know, get off with a little probation.
He's not entering a Batali zone.
I mean, Batali's found not guilty and lives in a nice spread in Michigan. So I think it's I mean, that's best case.
He was glove don't fit.
Must acquit.
You must acquit.
Must acquit. Yeah, but I don't
replace the glove with something funnier.
I don't think it'll I don't think
an orange croc.
I don't think the crime will be severe. I think the crime will be something that's more just like kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. And he might get caught up. It's tough. Everybody's open to get caught
that
up.
That feel when you go to jail for something super annoying sucks.
TFW. That feeling.
What are you in for? Something really annoying. Like I shouldn't even be here.
But yeah, I crisscrossed the borough yesterday. Took the train a lot. It felt good. I hadn't done that in a while.
Okay, CB on the go. I like it.
You know,
And you're able to move through the city effortlessly, even with your Vetements Balenciaga finger art.
My finger cuff is causing more chatter and attention than I would like.
What do you say? It was the Rick Owens Rick 2003 Owens. Spring Summer.
That's it's archival. It's archival.
It's on loan.
But having to do body weight workouts has been actually kind of nice and different and really hard if you do it right.
So what kind of, usually the body weight stuff is a little more reserved for the legs, but what kind of upper body weight are you doing?
Push-ups, handstands. That's mostly that. And then, yeah, a bunch of squats, squat jumps, planks, this thing called a gator roll, which is something I had never heard of before, where you basically...
Oh, they have that in Nobu. It's so good.
Yeah, it's like so good. The Nobu New Orleans has a great one.
Yeah, it's eel, obviously. But
you basically do like a boat, you know, like a low boat, like the yoga pose where your arms and legs are both off the ground slightly, so your core is engaged. And then you flip onto your stomach, do like a Superman, and then flip back.
And then, but you're not Superman, like propping yourself up. Okay, gator roll. I got to look this shit up now.
You have to use your muscles to kind of get you back into position. It's hard.
Yes. Okay.
That's good.
Maybe I'm going to try these gator rolls.
They're good. They're nice. And it'd be good for you with your foot. But yeah, so I run. I do my treadmill. I do my assault bike.
It also seems like a wrestling move as well. Sorry.
It does. It does seem like that a little bit. And people were looking at me a little funny when I was doing it. You know, that's the least of my worries in that Equinox.
Yeah, I feel you there, playa.
But traveling with the cuff is going to be interesting because it's, I have to bring 100 vitamins, my syringes, and now I have to bring Band-Aids and fucking, you know, Neosporin. And that, you know, it's like, I'm a traveling fucking doctor now. I'm a medicine kit.
So you're going to pull up to TSA and they're going to be like, here come old injured ass motherfucker. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, they're going to say like, oh, I was going to go off. I'm like, yeah, bro, I can't take this off. I mean, I'll be okay, but it's going to be annoying. Hopefully my finger doesn't blow up due to, you know, elevation.
You're going to be fine. They'll probably just have to pull you aside. They're already pulling you over for your Kodachrome 800. So they'll just hit your left hand with a little beep, beep.
That's true.
Make sure it doesn't have any explosives.
They'll definitely rub it.
Off you go.
They'll definitely rub it with the little white thing and then test it. You know what I'm saying? To see if there's bomb, kind of gunpowder or any residue or anything.
We don't use the B word in here. We don't use
I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. You're right.
I could lock you up for that.
I've been watching the golf show again.
Wait, why are we talking about golf show when the Oscars were on yesterday? That's what people want to hear about.
Golf show's better than the Oscars, but sure. It's the Oscars were fine. I mean, Ryan Gosling fucked up his cheeks with filler and they look like little shiny apples and it distracts. I can't watch him. I can't watch him. It's crazy. He was considered the hottest guy in the world by our entire generation of women. You know, like our, that is our kind of, that was our Johnny Depp, for lack of a better,
right.
You know, or whatever.
And like, you wanted him to wait until he got a little bit older before he started fucking up the face?
I just don't think a guy like that, like, it's cool if he looks a little older. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have
let
to
let it
do
ride.
That.
Let it age like a fine wine, like
yeah,
a whiskey.
Like, that's the unfortunate part of the
bottle up, pappies.
Of the patriarchy is that men are allowed to age in a way that women are not. And it's unfair, but in this case, he made the wrong choice, and now he looks like a little plastic doll. Not to be confused with Barbie.
Thanks for letting us age, hookers.
But he looks like a fucking, yeah, he looks like he hit the med spa.
He hit the med spa, he hit the face gym. But what I wanted to know, or it feels like a thing lately where people are being accused of having plastic surgery done, and then the beauty community, I'm spending too much time on gay Twitter, the beauty community will come in the comments and say this is actually just contouring mm-hmm. and makeup. This person did not go under the knife. Is there a chance that he just had some experimental makeup that appeared?
No, there's no chance. Like I think no. I think with women that is very possible. Chance. I think women when they get the full beat, there are ways to contour. I've seen the before mm-hmm. and afters. You know, I get it.
Don't come for Kiernan Shipka in the comments. That's only contouring.
He went too hard. He went too hard and it looks bad. But I will say the Ken performance was good. It was cool and it was fun. And it was like a reference to something from like a 60s show. I think I can't remember what it was. Like another performance of the Oscars. Women Prefer Blondes is what it is. Or excuse me, Men Prefer Blondes, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the
Women Prefer Blondes with an X.
The slash thing felt a little
I'm not a GNR apologist.
I'm not a slash
but also
guy,
that's
you know
to me that is the maraschino cherry on top of the sundae because it is of that era where like an extravaganza is not an extravaganza in my childhood unless at some point Slash appears out of nowhere to do a guitar solo. That sort of is the punctuation. It's the period at the end of any legendary performance. And I like that callback.
I think so too. I mean, I think it worked. I was just like, okay, of course. I mean, but who else do you get? Slash is the only guy that can do that.
You're just not a Slash junkie. I get it. And for a film that I really despised, it was a performance that I was thoroughly entertained by. And I would say shouts goes out to How Long Gone guest alumni, Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt for making that song.
Getting robbed every time at every award show by Billie Eilish and her brother for a boring song. I agree, Jason. And it's tough.
We never need to hear that Billie Eilish song again. It's a good song. It's emotional. It's moving.
I wouldn't go that far, but it is emotional, I guess. I will say Billie Eilish looked the best she's ever looked in Chanel on the red carpet and then Tom Brown during her performance. I will say that. Mm-hmm. I thought she looked great.
What about Phineas?
I mean, Phineas, always, I mean, he looks fine. But guys, if you don't fuck up, I mean, the whole thing this year, the big trend people were talking about was that guys weren't wearing ties.
Mm.
It was a lot of just open collar, which I'm at the Oscars, put on a fucking tie, personally.
Yeah. If it's black tie,
yeah,
it has tie in the word.
All these guys want to wear brooches instead. You know what I mean? A little Louis Vuitton brooch. And that just ain't the same as a bow tie or even just a regular tie. But, Dominique Sussett, the guy from The Holdovers, the guy that looks like he was ripped from the Celine runway, he actually pulled off a rare cummerbund that I thought looked great, which is I don't see very often.
That's because he's that bitch right now.
He is that bitch. And I don't see that work often, but I was impressed. But otherwise, I mean, I watched it. I basically, because I haven't seen any of the movies, I don't really care.
I watched Poor Things last night. Carolyn really wanted to watch it, and we were putting it off to forever. And then after she won, I was like, "All right, let's see what happened." And it's an insane movie. It's an insane movie. I don't know if you would like it.
Like you liked it or you didn't like it?
No, I liked it. I mean, it was more so. There's no way anyone else would beat her out for best actress. She basically through the course of the 2.5 hour film or whatever went from the mind of a 2-year-old to a full grown adult mm-hmm. and like. It reminded me of on Tropic Thunder. actually featuring Robert Downey Jr. in blackface. Robert Downey Jr. won Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars this year. The line where he says, "Never go full retard." And it was about if you're trying to get that Oscar bait film and you choose to maybe play a person with a disability, you don't want to go too far because you'll never get it. And ironically, in Poor Things, she's sort of, they call her that R word again in that film. And she, for the first half of the film, is not going full retard. She's walking to the line. And that's why she won.
I'm all set. I mean, I could honestly care less, dude. It's just like,
you don't like a good acting performance?
No, I don't. I just don't give a shit. Like, I just can't get excited.
What about the lens play?
I just can't get excited about that. Like, from an entertainment perspective, I just want to be entertained. I don't want to have to like think about symbolism or meaning or how good or bad someone's performance is. I just want it to be entertaining to take my mind off of whatever other bullshit I'm dealing with. I don't think these kind of things do that. I think they make you engage too much for it to be entertainment at a certain point. That's what I think.
It becomes mental health homework at a certain point, and you're not always in the mood for that, which is why you should check out a super new episode of Abbott Elementary on ABC. It's more stuff for what you seem to be looking for.
Congratulations to Cord for winning for Best Adapted Screenplay. That's very cool.
Yeah. How Long Gone alumni. And I was thinking back, it reminds me, I was like, oh, wow, I'm proud because I'm seeing people who have been on our podcast who are doing really well. You know, Hari Neff was in Barbie. I just saw her at Stir Crazy last week.
Yeah, it's cool. They come on How Long Gone. They do great, and we still do middle. It's good. It's we're a stop along the way.
No. I'm trying to set a precedence for us that we are king and queen makers. If they do How Long Gone, you know, it's time to get bullish on that person because in 18 months they're going to be on the red carpet.
Their career is looking up. That's a good way to look at it. I had a more defeatist attitude, which I apologize.
Yeah, Lee Pace was nothing until he talked to us for 45 minutes about building a cabin.
These guys were broke, and then they come on here, and it's kind of off to the races. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah,
now Lee's got bodies.
I watched an hour and a half of it maybe, but that's all I could really, the red carpet is obviously the best part because people look awful. And some people look good. I would say like the usual suspects look good. I mean, that's the one thing about award season that has been nice is the Greta Lee dressing arc because she looks, it's crazy. She looks good every single time. Like she has not missed.
Is it, it's Loewe every time?
No. It's
or Lanvin.
It's whatever. I mean, it's Danielle Goldberg is a stylist. It's whatever. I mean, I think she might have a Loewe like deal of some sort, but she's worn several things, but she just looks, it's crazy. She's just meant to wear clothes. And most actresses can't carry that. They can be hot, you know what I mean?
I feel like Greta, I don't know. I was listening to a pod with friend of the show, Lauren Thurman. Lauren Sherman, and she was mentioning Greta stylist or have always like being her number one red carpet person of the year. She always looks good, and I think she mentioned she always wore Loewe, but I could be wrong. And also listening to her correctly pronounce Bottega Veneta, I was like, damn, this is a new day for me. It was like when I first learned how to say Loewe, I was a new man. I felt like I'm not saying Veneta anymore.
Well, this is a little bit of a Los Feliz kind of situation where it's like,
of course,
or we say Louis Vuitton, you know, when people do that, you're like, relax.
No, you don't even say the Louis, like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm of course I love seeing Vuitton, and you're like, all right, bro, chill.
All right, chill.
Fucking chill.
You know, the only
and when I say bro, chill, I'm mostly, I mean, who does that though?
It's often,
but people do it.
No,
I think
people
you get
do
drunk.
It. People do it. I hear it all the time. Like fashion people do it because it thinks, or French people. What's worse, French people or fashion people? I don't know. But they both do it.
French fashion people are the worst.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's the same as Ibiza, gazpacho,
yeah,
Los Feliz.
It's like when I'm in France, I don't pretend. I'm just going to talk like I talk because they know and I fucking know what the deal is. And it's better for everybody if I sound like I look and you can talk shit about me in French. it's all good.
Whereas my ass,
you know what I mean?
You already know my ass is going to be up in there pretending.
That it's just not worth it to me.
And that's the beautiful dichotomy of us.
It really is.
Juste position.
It really is.
Speaking of other tweets, a friend of the show, David Marks, W. David Marks.
The GOAT. Japan's own.
He did How Long Gone, right? How long
no,
ago was
we,
that?
We've tried, but it the time difference is so crazy. When his book came out, we couldn't get it, but we'll get it
done. You're so close to me. You're so close to me. I feel like you've already potted with us. We've potted with 11 other guys who are like him, though, right?
Well, we've potted with his college roommate at Harvard, BJ.
Really, really smart guy who wrote a book that I won't be able to understand.
We've had several of those.
They probably did. How long ago?
We did.
We had several of those. Anyway, he tweeted yesterday. I believe he was referencing Paris Hilton's memoir. Which, have you ever read that?
Nope.
I feel like it'd be a good like audiobook for the plane when you're done with Calloway's or something.
I mean, anyway. I find her pretty compelling, to be honest. I don't care to read her book.
I think maybe her book it's a new one. I don't know. I feel like it was a while ago. I feel like
it's newish. No, I think it's newish. Oh, okay. I think it's in the last 3-4 years. Like, I don't think it's that old.
I mean, all that is to say, in the last 3 or 4 years, she has grown leaps and bounds, and just like call her daddy or something. But anyway. W. David Marks says, in Paris Hilton's memoir, she says, I spent hundreds of hours learning everything there was to know about DJing, teaching myself all the tricks I could find on YouTube, and even inventing a few new tricks of my own. And Marks asks, in all caps, what DJ techniques did Paris Hilton invent? Pleading.
I mean, invent and perfect are often conflated. And I think maybe she perfected some things, but maybe she didn't invent anything. But as a DJ yourself, Jason, who spent hours poring over the 1200s, carrying crates to and from, traveling all over the world with mm-hmm. Steve Aoki, how does it feel to have someone like Paris? Like, do you really think she put the same time in as them jeans? Or do you think she's...
I think the answer is somewhere in the middle of that. I think out of all the celebrity DJs, she got into it pretty early. She's kind of on the ground floor, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was mm-hmm. back in a time where you did have to put in a little bit of work. It's not so much just like a, you know, this person comes out and their sound tech person hits play and they dance around and nobody cares. I think she actually had to do some stuff back then. And I think she does understand and know the fundamentals of DJing. I think she can mm-hmm. DJ in a club for an hour sufficiently enough. And I don't think that she invented any actual techniques besides getting paid way more money to DJ than 99% of DJs without doing any of the work and being a bedroom guy wearing sweatpants.
To be fair, I mean, you know, I think that is inventing something. And that is perfecting.
The ultimate technique.
Yeah, that's the ultimate technique, is fleecing brands and Coachella parties to pay you to DJ. I think that's the ultimate
yeah,
move.
It
really.
Was I guess it takes two things to become a really good DJ. One part skill and technique and one part a look. And as long as you get there, it doesn't matter where that's coming from.
How?
And it's usually for a DJ, it's 10% looks, 90% skill.
Don't do that. We've all seen what Tiesto looks like.
Look, there are hot DJs out there, of course. We all know
Rest in peace, Avicii. Rest in peace, Avicii. Yeah.
But the best ones are kind of ugly. Otherwise, they wouldn't be that good.
No, that's true. Because, you know, you don't have to try. It's true. They've had to learn a skill to get laid instead of just standing there.
I had to develop a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. You're still working on that. I'm happy to see you kind of still developing
hey,
that.
Screw you.
At this big age, at your big age.
But Paris was just like, all right, I'll do 10% skills. It'll take me, you know, 2 Wednesdays to learn. And I already have 90% of the looks and the fame. It's go off, girl.
It's true.
And also,
she looks great.
We've been in parties around her and I've met her once or twice, and she's like a chiller.
Yeah, she's a
like
pro.
Normal and cool. Yeah, and you would never really think that, I guess.
No, I think that's part of her. I think that's part of the reason she's so successful.
She's come a long way.
I wanted to talk about quickly the upcoming Weezer tour. Because our buddy Ryland did all the like the packaging, like the photo shoot for the tour, and it's like them going to space, and it looks great. But Dinosaur Jr. opening at MSG, and I want to speculate on what the crowd is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dusty do you think it's going to be, or do you think that there is a younger generation that has found that album and has embraced it.
Being the blue album Weezer, not
yeah, it's a classic.
And what's there's another band that's on the bill as well. That's
Flaming Lips.
Yeah, Flaming
Lips.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say sick, but they're on
at a certain point in my life, I really liked Flaming Lips, and then I don't know what happened after that.
I think a lot of people did, and then he did that thing where he was in a blow-up ball and would walk on the crowd too much, and I think that kind of... Wayne's going to come on the pod at some point, though, so I'll confront him about that.
Yeah, he is going to come on the pod. I remember that, whereas like Flaming Lips are like a middle of the festival band, and they play, and it's like a Technicolor Dreamcoat kind of vibe, and it's fine, and it's at... But then he pulls out the ball, and now they're headlining Coachella. They're playing last.
They also had a big fucking hit.
They did have a big hit, but you know, it wasn't
they had
that big.
They had
what's
a
it
big
called?
Hit. I think it was.
How does it go?
Oh, do you realize?
Yes. That was like an Apple commercial too. It was big.
Yeah, that was big. Commercial. That was a big song. It's one of those kind of yeah's, like ballad-ish, you know, that is a little sad, but somehow it takes over. But I can't wait to hit MSG and check out what the crowd is like at the Weezer. I'm very interested.
I think that Jen Alf has probably discovered the bubblegum pop stylings of the Weezer's Blue album. It has some amazing songs on there. One of my favorite, if not my favorite, Weezer song, which was very hardcore breakdown inspired, Only in Dreams.
Yes,
which had that the Fleetwood Mac chain kind of style bass line breakdown, which is, you know, that's the best breakdown in hardcore.
Yes.
When it just stops and you just hear like a sick ass bass line only, and you're like, oh fuck.
Oh, here it comes.
Oh fuck. But the Weezer song, it's like an 8 minute long song where all their other songs on the album are probably, you know, 257. And it because it has like a 3 or 4 minute breakdown where it turns into like a kind of nerdy, really good kind of hardcore mosh song.
Some of the best music videos ever made for that album. The Spike Jonze Weezer.
I remember when the Blue album came out and they would play it on K-Rock and people were like, this is a completely new sound. Holy shit.
I know, which is crazy.
When's the last time that happened?
It's crazy because it doesn't feel like that, obviously, because we're older. But I think that it's also, it's, I don't know, it was so big. That's why, you know what I mean? Like that, usually something new doesn't always get that big that quick. But I feel like felt like it got really big really fast.
Because the Buddy Holly video, was that?
Yeah.
Was that Spike Jonze?
Yeah. The Buddy Holly video is one of the
best.
As
soon as the Buddy Holly video came out, that was like Smells Like Teen Spirit level.
Totally.
Mania, 100%. I remember.
I mean, it was like the jocks.
They said,
everybody
run that back turbo. We got another one. That's what Arista Records said.
That's what Rivers Cuomo said. Hey, run that back turbo. We need to get Rivers and Turbo.
Yeah,
in the studio.
We up right now, Rivers.
We up, Rivers. We up right now.
It was. I remember at that time it was very which way westward, man. When it was like you can go Weezer, like there was always like metal and hip hop that was like always going around. But then it was like you could go Weezer or Jamiroquai, meaning like we're really a little nerdy.
Yeah.
And but are we nerdy rock or nerdy funky?
When you
split households.
When you come to the fork in the road of funky and you have to pick a side, everybody's been there. Every man has come to that point in their life.
Yeah, if you ask me, I'm kind of both.
I would say that you're more funk. I would say you're more funky.
No.
Well, than me.
Of course. One last question. rap artist Boots Riley. From his rap group was called The Coup, right?
I thought that's the actor, but he's also a musician. But I think
he's been in he's been in that one movie. Sorry to Bother You. No, he's been in a bunch of movies actually. Yeah,
yeah. He had a moment. Sorry to Bother You was like the biggest moment for sure. But he's
a director, producer, screenwriter. But I know him as a rapper.
And let's not forget Street Sweeper Social.
He actually
Club.
Put out a record on Steve Aoki's label,
Dim Mock Recordings.
Yeah, he did like the Coup 7-inch.
So you guys have some shared history. Okay. Well, he tweeted some stuff.
He tweeted some stuff, which, you know, I've been on record for years now calling out Rick Rubin, but he says now is a good time as any to tell people Rick Rubin is behind the scenes, is a behind the scenes right winger who tries to recruit music industry folk to QAnon type stuff, and who is, according to Kanye, convinced Kanye to meet Candace Owens and endorse Trump. He just looks like a hippie.
I believe that he's right wing for sure. He's a rich guy in Malibu. That's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the QAnon. What is QAnon style thing? You know what I mean? What does that really mean?
It's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I guess it's kind of like libertarian, just like, you know, like we can agree on some things, and then the one uncle that says that one thing where you're like,
yeah, sure.
I think it's like that, you know.
That's fine. I don't think he's, you know, convincing Frank Ocean that, you know, Hillary Clinton's eating babies in the basement of a pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that I do believe the Candace Owens Kanye West thing. I do believe that.
Yeah. I just like the idea of a guy moving from like Manhattan or where, you know, I don't know where he was from originally, but like, you know, an urban kind of city guy, and it took him moving to like a beachside paradise on the California coast where people just like wear UGG boots and go longboarding, to then become weaponized or radicalized as a QAnon bro.
I mean, it's money, it's not location.
Right.
That's what I think. I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's, you know, it's a...
Even a guy who's supposed to not care about money ends up caring about money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The Shane Gillis bit
I'm
aging into being a Republican. That's what happened to Rick Rubin.
Do you think now he, you know, when you would the joke or the slur would be the guy being like, hey, get off my lawn. Do you think he does that for like his Zen garden sand sculpture?
Hey, get off my land art.
Get off my Zen sand sculpture.
Get off my land art. Yeah, maybe.
Get off my land art or I'll call the fucking cops.
I think this is definitely, I mean, I, this tweet went crazy. I'm sure there's some truth to it, and I'm sure there's some, you know, embellishments, but that's all good things.
We're seeing all the dominoes falling with everything going on with the Diddy stuff, and, you know, a lot of people are guessing who's going to be the Tony Soprano at the top, you know, Lior. Who could it be?
It's not Lior. Don't do that.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Lior, come on the pod. Don't kill my family.
How long gone? Don't kill my family. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dakota, for your sweet message for Jason.
Yes.
Find us at howlonggone.com, and we'll be back later this week with more podcasts. I'll be recording live from beautiful Chicago, Second City, on Thursday.
Second City.
Can't wait. Can't wait. I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you again. And for to drink water. And for to drink 1 gallon of alkaline water, y'all.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.